In Sarvasiddhanta, the path begins at the Charya stage, with getting to know the gods and developing a relationship with them through service, or karma yoga. Then bhakti is naturally experienced. This is the Kriya stage. Our nature becomes soft, flexible, and content. Gurudev explained, the inner knowing that all is Shiva's will is one of the first benefits of bhakti yoga. A close, loving relationship with God and the gods gives us a great stability in life and allows for success in meditation. If problems or negative karmas arise, the devotee can place them at the feet of the deity to be dissolved. When karmas are clear, the devotee is able to internalize his devotion into deeper meditations in the yoga stage. And we have a quote from Gurudeva. The greatest inhibiting factor in practicing bhakti yoga is the doubting, cynical intellectual mind. Doubt and skepticism harden the heart and narrow the mind. When you have the energy of bhakti, of love, flowing through your body, meditation is easy. You don't have to go through the preliminaries. You are already functioning in the higher chakras. Interesting point that Gurudeva makes here. Toward the beginning, the yoga of pure devotion is found at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the path. And otherwise, sometimes bhakti yoga is looked at as a very simple, a very basic practice. Well, you start with bhakti yoga, and then after a while, you end up a great yoni. We've outgrown bhakti yoga. It's helpful for a couple of years, maybe a few months. But we're supposed to outgrow it, become a great jnani. That's one of the default ideas in Hinduism. And though that could be true in some paths, it's not true in the path that Gurudeva teaches. It's just the form of the devotion changes, and that's what we'll look at the end here. There's always a pure devotion for God, but it deepens in its experience. Another point Gurudeva makes is devotion is a calm, intelligent expression of love for the deity. He liked to distinguish between devotion and emotion. Oh, in our tradition, we're not trying to get excited emotionally, sort of all hyped up through singing or something. We're not trying to become emotional. We're trying to express devotion. So if you get emotional, it limits the pure devotion you can experience, because emotion takes a lot of energy, kind of externalizing. So you don't want to become emotional. It's similar, but it's more calm and it's more intelligent. So we want to be devotional, not emotional. Our nature becomes soft, flexible, and content. Well, this is a very important point, that one of the qualities of the current world status and education in the world is when we go to university, we come out of the university a bit hardened, a bit intellectual, maybe a bit proud even. So it's the opposite of a soft, flexible, and content heart. Therefore, the nature needs to be softened in order to go deeply within ourselves, in order to have profound experiences. We have to soften the external nature. And that's done through bhakti yoga. One of the overall points is, and we see this on television now, that whenever love and God are discussed, it's usually in a Western intellectual framework, and it's said that God loves you. The whole focus is on God loves you. Well, that's true. It's true in Hinduism too. God loves you, but that's more taken for granted. Okay, God loves you. We don't have to come back to that point. But we're focused more on you loving God. And that's not necessarily mentioned. But we're focused on our love for God, and not just that we love God, but deepening that love for God. That's what Bhakti Yoga is all about. I love God, but now I'm going to deepen that love for God. And that's what we'll look at here. When we deepen the love for God, it moves from what's called theism to monism. It moves from being separate from it to being it. So to try and explain that in 2 minutes, there's a verse in the scripture we quote often, Tirumanurum, Tirumular. It's talking about the progression of getting closer to God, and it uses the phrase life. The life of life is the name of God. Tamil is called Uyir Kuyir. So the life of life, or the soul of the soul, is another name, way of saying God. So invoking life through ceremony, like we did this morning, we're invoking God Shiva's presence. Invoking life is done through ceremony. Beholding the light of life is done through meditation. So in meditation, we learn to go in and see the inner life. So that's a spiritual light. It's called the light of life, or the light of the soul. So we're perceiving that. And then eventually, as a yogi, we are the life of life. So we don't think of ourselves as something separate from the life of life. We perceive this one life in everything, everyone, and we are that. So what you can see there in that scriptural quote, we're invoking through ceremony, we're beholding the light of life through meditation, and then we are the life of life when we reach the last stage of wisdom. So we can parallel love to that. It's not a scriptural verse. We can write one if we wanted to, but it's not a scriptural verse. It just takes the same idea and uses love instead of life. So expressing love of God is done through ceremony. So that's what we were doing this morning. We were expressing our devotion for God Shiva through ceremony. Beholding God as love, it's called Ande Shivam in Tamil. Beholding God as love is done in meditation. But then being God as love is the wisdom. So, in other words, the phrase is God loves you, I love God, then we have God is love, and then we have you are God as love. Or you are God or one as love. So the idea is that dualism leads into the monism. Theism leads into the monism eventually if we take it deeply enough. So that's how love is different in Hinduism than in Western faiths. It starts as God loves you, I love God. We deepen that love far enough, we experience that God is love, and then we become that love. Goswami, we quoted that one not too long ago. He has a letter. He says, who must you love? He's talking to a young man. Who must you love? Everyone. But actually, you are everyone, because there is no separate person when you're a yoni. So you are this love which permeates everyone. That's how Goswami looked at it. So thank you very much. Wonderful having everyone here this morning. Wonderful day.